This term, we're finishing off a series on idolatry. Who can remember the key Bible verse for this series? Where's it from? What book? 1 Thessalonians, I heard somewhere. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 to 10. Does anyone remember it?
1 second.
Does anyone remember it? Okay, here it is up on the screen. Read it with me. Here it is. 1, 2, 3. They tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. What we've been talking about is Jesus turning away from false idols, things such as sex, self, stuff, celebrity, sport. Today we're going to talk about success, turning away from those things to worship the true and living God, Jesus, the one who's alive, the one who rescues us from the coming wrath. We're to turn away from idols, whatever they are, whether they start with S, whether they start with something else. We're to turn away from them, serve the living and true God, and then live radically different in response to it. That's what it means to wait for Jesus to return. We live now differently because of who he is and because of what he has done. Now, as we've been working through this series, some weeks there might be things that haven't been as particularly relevant for you. You may not have struggled with the idol of sport. You're a slob or whatever it might be. You may not really struggle with the idol of stuff. You live in a little bark hut and you don't have things. And you don't struggle with the idol of stuff. Even if you don't struggle with some of those things, each week as we've looked at the Bible, we've seen a negative side. So putting to death self, stuff, sex, celebrity, sport, etc. But there's also been a positive side. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about physical training is of tiny, of puny value. Yeah, it's of some value. What has real value? Training in godliness. Training to be more like Jesus. Training to be different because of the gospel. And so each week, even if you haven't struggled with that particular idol as much as some of the other ones, each time we've been called from the Bible to worship the true and living God, to worship Jesus and live differently because of it. Now, some of the things may not have been relevant to you before, but tonight I think is probably something relevant to every single one of us. If you live in Australia, and if you go to a church in St. Ives in Australia, this is a temptation and an idol that we are all going to struggle with, and probably already do struggle with. And so we're going to be talking about the idol of success. I might pray again, and really pray that God would help us to understand his word tonight as we think about this one. How about you pray with me? Our gracious God, we thank you so much that you've spoken to us. Thank you for speaking to us through what you have made, through your creation. But we thank you for speaking to us ever so clearly through your word, through your spoken word, through your word, the Bible, and ultimately through the word who became flesh, Jesus. We praise you for Jesus and pray that we would know him better tonight, that we would turn and run in the opposite direction from worshipping the idol of success, and that we would be those who love you, who love Jesus, and worship him and him alone. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, I pretty much reckon I can summarise your life story from when you were born to when you're going to die. That's pretty much it, to be totally honest. You were born, you grew up, you went to school, soon, if you're in year 10, 11 and 12, which is most of everyone here, you're going to finish school soon, then you'll eventually maybe get a job, then you might get married, maybe you might have some kids, and then you're going to die. It's pretty close after having kids and getting married that you're going to die. That's pretty much your life. That's it. In the big picture of eternity, in the big sweep of eternity, your life is just a little blip on the screen, just a little scratch. That's how small your life is. And so the question is, what are you going to do between the cradle and the grave? How are you going to spend that period of time? It's a short period of time. How are you going to invest your time? What are you going to pursue? What are you going to be seeking after? And what are you going to try and be successful at? You see, I think often, and particularly where we're living, one of the greatest things that we think we are to do between the cradle and the grave is to succeed. Whatever it is, whatever area it is, you may not want to be a rocket surgeon or a brain scientist or any of that. You may not want to be that, but you want to succeed.
in your area, in your thing. And it's a great temptation, and it's an easy idol to worship, because everyone is saying to do it, to succeed at all costs. We're to do well at school. We're to get a good job. We're to earn good money. We're to be the best at our job. We're to be successful in what we do. We're to become managers. We're to be successful at all costs. And as I've already said, Australia in particular is a place where we want to be successful. And if you live on the North Shore of Sydney, which is my guess, it's probably everyone except for me, maybe. There you go. This doesn't apply to me. No, it applies to me, absolutely. One of the biggest things is the idol of success and the temptation to worship success. You know, we've talked about stuff, celebrity, sex, sport, self. They're all huge in many different ways, but the idol to succeed is enormous. It's an incredible one. You see, we're driven by success. And now, let me say from the start that it's not wrong to do well at something. Okay, the aim of this talk is not just to crap at everything, just be lazy, be a bum, be really bad at things. That's not the aim at all. But when something becomes your idol, whatever it is, and tonight we're talking about success, when it comes before God, when God is shoved out of the picture because of your drive and determination to be successful at whatever it is, that is the problem. Remember, we've talked about a Christian is someone who has Jesus as number one. When success matters to you more than Jesus, you're not worshipping Jesus. You're not a Christian if success matters to you more than Jesus. When your occupation, at the moment at school, soon, that's a better word, it'll be uni maybe, or TAFE or something like that, and soon after that it'll be your job, your occupation. When your occupation becomes preoccupation, all-consuming, that's a problem. And so I want to call you, God I think wants to call all of us from his word tonight, to turn from the idol of success and to worship Jesus. And in particular, I really want, if you're in year 12, this is particularly pertinent to you. This is particularly relevant to you. You've got your HSC coming up. Has everyone done their trials? Is that right? We've done our trials. So we're almost there. And you've got huge questions about where to next. How are you going to succeed? You're being pushed to be successful. And so year 12s, I really want to encourage you tonight as we look at the Bible to see the big picture. You see, the HSC is nuts. It's a crazy thing, such that there are teenagers in New South Wales every single year who can't handle that pressure to succeed. Maybe it's the expectations of your parents. Maybe it's the expectations of your school. You go to that school, and at that school, you must succeed. And so each year, there are teenagers just like you, driven to succeed, who can't handle it and kill themselves. Not worth it. Success in some stupid exam, which you'll forget your mark of. Well, I forgot mine. That's probably because I didn't go that well. I went well enough. That's all you got to do. Just go well enough. But I want to encourage year 12s tonight in particular, but all of us, to take a step back from the exams that are coming up, whether it's this year, whether it's next year, and see the big picture. And we're going to do that from the Bible. And the first thing to say before we look at the specific passage that we're going to look at tonight is that it is appropriate that we work. Okay, I alluded to that before, but it's appropriate that we work. I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't do your schoolwork. I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't get a job. We must work, and Christians often do really well at school. They actually put their minds to it, and they have a good work ethic. Christians often do really good in the workplace and are successful in the workplace. And it's not wrong to do well. It's not wrong to work hard. It's wrong when it becomes your idol. You see, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, you can look it up later, work was instituted before the fall. Before sin came into the world, it was appropriate to work. We're actually made to work. It wasn't until after the fall, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, that was when work became hard and toilsome and tough work. And so in our sinfulness, there's two extremes. We either work too hard, and my guess is that's probably most of us here tonight, or sometimes we're just lazy bums. We just don't care less. You see, 2 Thessalonians. Quickly turn it up. We're not going to spend long here. But 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The point of this verse here is to say, don't be a lazy bum. And I'll just quickly read it and then we'll keep moving to our main passage for tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers, to keep away from every brother who is idle and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to make ourselves a model for you to follow. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat. We're not going to spend long there. We should work. My guess is there's not many of us here in the lazy bum category, but you might be tempted straight after the HSC to resort back to that lazy bum mode. Christians ought to work, okay? We ought to work and work hard. But we must not let our work and our desire to succeed come before Jesus. And so it's easy. When we're driven to succeed, it's easy to love the world and to love the things of here and now rather than to love Jesus. When we love to succeed, when we love the world more than Jesus, it's idolatry. You can't claim to be a Christian if something is coming before Jesus. Have a look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. We're going to spend most of our time in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. So make sure you can see it. Look at someone else's Bible if you don't have a Bible, or listen carefully as I read it out. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Okay, here's what it says. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. You see, when we live to work, when we live to succeed, we're loving this present world rather than Jesus and the world to come. You see there in verse 16, the boasting of what he has and the boasting of what he does. You know, we boast about the jobs that we have, maybe the letters that come before our name, or the title, or the letters that come after our name for the particular degree we may well have, or whatever job, manager, CEO, company executive, whatever it is. We introduce ourselves by what we do for work. Yeah, we regularly ask that to one another. Well, what do you do during the week? And we say, I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor, I'm a garbage collector, I'm a school teacher, whatever it is. We define ourselves by what we do. We even boast about what we do and our success at it. Now, I've got a friend who... got lots of friends, but I've got one friend in particular. When he was first married, he lived in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, out at Bronte, and there's a cemetery out there. I've never been to the cemetery, but some of you may have seen the cemetery out there on the headland at Bronte. And he was newly married and taking his wife for a romantic walk through the cemetery, as you do. There's a good view. And anyway, as you do on those romantic dates that you're having with your wife, they start reading all the tombstones and sort of just having a look and learning about different people. And they came to one that stood out to them, and they've remembered ever since. And it said, I can't remember the name and they can't either, but it's John Smith, 1932 to 1997 or whatever it was. He was an accountant. Full stop. That's all they could come up with. It's tragic. This man's life was defined by the fact that he was an accountant. He might have thought he was living for something more. His family obviously didn't think that. They didn't write down he was a loving husband. He was a great father. He trusted Jesus. They didn't write any of that stuff down. He was at work too long. He was a workaholic. He was an accountant. He was boring because he was an accountant. But his life was defined by his career, by being successful at his career, above being successful with his family. Bill Gates, he's one of the most successful people on the planet. Check out this quote from him that I read a couple of years ago in a newspaper. Bill Gates, just in terms of allocation of time resources, religion is not very efficient. There's a lot more I could be doing on a Sunday morning. What a foolish man. Mark chapter 8, verse 36. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, to be the most successful, yet forfeit his soul? Have a look down at chapter 2, verse 17 again. The world and its desires pass away, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. The world and its desires are fading away. They're not going to last forever. If you got like a little blue ribbon at an athletics carnival, it's not going to last forever. If you get a gold medal at an Olympic Games, it's not going to last forever. If you have 15 degrees from the 15 best universities in the world, they are not going to last forever. The world and its desires are fading away. They will not last forever. Yet I think as Christians, we're often more influenced by the world in how we make our decisions about Christian things than we are by the Word of God. We make our decisions based on who we are as our job, as our profession, as our career trajectory, rather than the fact that we are Christian. And so when it comes to thinking about what job you're going to have, maybe what uni you're going to go to, if that's the path you're going to take, we think about that before we think about what church we're going to go to, what ministries we're going to be a part of. And so what we do is we go, okay, what job do I want? Okay. Or what uni, so I can get the job that I want. And then what do? We live not too far away from that. And then what do? We go, oh, there's got to be a church somewhere around here. And so our priorities are shaped more by the world. We think, man, how do I want to succeed in my career? I'll live near there, and then I'll choose a church, and maybe if I can find the time to do some ministries, I'll do that. You see, that is a way that is shaped by the world, shaped by loving the world and shaped by loving success. And thinking like that is common on the North Shore of Sydney amongst Christians. It's a huge temptation. This is a huge idol, and it is incompatible with love for the Father, is what the passage is saying. Can it be any clearer than verse 15, the start of it? Do not love the world or anything in the world. You can't love both at once. You can't love the world and love God at the same time. Jesus says it in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And that's what's going on here in 1 John chapter 2. You cannot serve both God and the world, success, career, at the same time. You see, if you are in love with the world, if this is what is driving you to be successful at all costs, it could well be a sign that the love of the Father isn't even in you. This could be a significant test as to whether you're serious about following Jesus and being a Christian, being a child of God above everything else. You see, loving this world is at odds with everything that God stands for. Did you see it in verse 16? Cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes and the boasting of what he has and what he does. These are things that don't come from the Father. They're things that come from the world. They're not godly things. They're worldly things. You see, trying to love the world and love God at the same time is like trying to stand on a wharf and a boat that's leaving at the same time. You can't do it. You can only do the splits for so long before you've got to choose one or the other. Are you going to stand on God, unmovable, or on the world, which is actually just sailing off into the sunset to disappear, sink in the Bermuda Triangle or wherever the Titanic fell down? You see, two forces pulling you in opposite directions. Loving success and loving the Father is, remember we've talked about this a few times, Woody Allen's quote, it's like trying to ride two horses with one bum. You can't do it. Do you know what really matters? It's not loving the world. It's not success. It's not getting the best marks. It's not getting the best job. It's loving the Father. It's loving God and living for Him. Have a look at verse 17 again. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Your life is not about career success. It really doesn't matter what job you have. What matters is that you're doing the will of the Father. You're doing the will of God. We don't live to work. We work to live. Life isn't characterized by success at work and job and school and uni. Life is characterized by serving God, by loving God, by worshiping God, by trusting God. On Senior High House Party, we had a quote that popped up in, I think it was the talk on the idol of stuff. There's one that, if you've read some John Piper books, you may have come across before. It's a fantastic quote about investing in that which will last forever. Let me give it to you again. Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done in Christ will last. You got that? Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done in Christ will last. Loving the Father, loving God, being a Christian is about not investing in the things here and now, but investing in the things of eternity. And so I'll quickly get you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We looked at this last term. We'll look at it very quickly again. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So, verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Success here and now is temporary. It will not last. But the things done into eternity will last. We don't fix our eyes on the things here and now, but we fix our eyes on Jesus. We fix our eyes on the things of eternity, the things of God. We define ourselves not by what job we have, not by what school we have gone to, but by the fact that we're children of God, that we belong to Him, that heaven is our home. Not here. I've been successful here and now. And so when it comes to job and uni, if you're making those decisions soon and where you're going to live and where you're going to go to church, that's the wrong way around. We've got to flip it the other way. If you're a Christian, you think through first and foremost, who am I going to meet with as a Christian? What church am I going to go to? It's not wrong to leave this church. Stacks of people, and I'm meeting them all the time, have left this church to do some incredible things in other churches. They're not all gone there to be ministers. There's a church plant just down the road at Roseville. Is it Roseville or Linfield? They're all the same, aren't they? But a whole bunch of people have left this church. What's shaped their thinking? Is it their job? No, it's the gospel of Jesus. It's the things of God. That is to shape where you go to church, what ministries you're going to be a part of. Then you work out where you're going to live. Then you try to find a job. We live in such a rich place that you can get a job anywhere. Easily. You're the most gifted and brightest people on the planet. You don't have to be driven by where you're going to have your job. You need to be driven by Jesus, by meeting with Jesus' people, by doing ministry. Then you work out where you're going to live, and it doesn't really matter. And then you work out, how am I going to put some food on the table? And it might mean that you don't become a lawyer. It's okay to be a lawyer. It's not wrong to be a lawyer, but you may choose not to. You might have another job. You might, whatever it might be. We need to flip upside down the worldly Christian way of thinking and be Christian in our way of thinking. Invest in the things, not of here and now, but the things that will last forever. You need to work out what that will mean for you. If you're thinking of university placements and so forth, you may not actually take the thing that you need a 90. You might get 99. And you don't even take that degree. You do something for 70. That you didn't need the 99, but you could have done anything. But you might choose to do a certain thing so you can be a part of certain ministries. You might choose to be a nurse. Nurses are legends. You don't have to have a 99 UAI to become a nurse. But man, nursing is a good thing to do. And you might become a nurse so that you can go and be a missionary in a place where you can use those skills for the gospel, for Jesus, for the sake of things that will last into eternity. Well, whatever it means for you, you need to think Christianly, not worldlily. Is that a word? Let's finish. We talked about walking through the graveyard in Bronte. And on the John Smith's tombstone, it said, he was an accountant. When you die, how do you want to be remembered? What do you want written on your tombstone? It's not just how you see yourself, because you probably won't write your tombstone. It's normally written once you're dead. How are other people going to see how you've invested in this world? Are they just going to write that he was a dentist? Tammy, she was a hockey player. Johnny, he got an A on his report card. That's not how you want to be defined by. We ought to be those, if we have our trust in Jesus, if we're claiming to have turned from idols to worship Jesus, we want to be those who are remembered for having our trust in Jesus as one who loved not the world but loved Jesus, who loved not the things here and now but loved Jesus and the things to come. Your name, love Jesus, turned from idols, trusted in Jesus, and is now with Jesus. Let me urge you tonight to turn from the idol of success and to worship Jesus. And as I finish, just a couple of quick things about the HSC. As I said before, don't kill yourself over it. I'm being serious. It really doesn't matter in the big picture of eternity. Ask your leaders. It only took about 3 minutes, I think, after the last exam that you go, man, what was I stressing about? And maybe some of your leaders might have taken a week to wind down after their exams. But it really doesn't matter in the big picture of eternity. I remember there was a young guy who stopped coming to our youth group when he was in year 7 because his parents wanted him to study for the HSC on a Friday night. I'm like, you're in year 7. I don't care if you're in year 7. No one studies on a Friday night. What are you talking about, crazy parents? One of the things that I want to urge you, if you're about to do the HSC, or next year or the year after, is you're defined not by your exams, how you do, what you do. By all means, work hard. You're defined by the fact that you're a Christian. So that means if you're in year 12, keep coming to youth group. Keep meeting with one another. Keep going to Bible study. Are you really that disorganized that you can't take an hour and a half out of your Sunday night and Friday night? Are you really that bad with your time management? Make sure you keep investing in the things of eternity, the relationships with one another, fellowship around the word, and urging each other to keep trusting Jesus. How are you going to live between the cradle and the grave? Are you going to live for here and now? Or are you going to live for Jesus? Live for him at all costs. Look, I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I actually want year 12 to stand up. So if you're in year 12, get up on your feet. Give them a clap as they get up, everyone else.
I'm going to pray for you guys. I'm going to pray for all of us, but particularly for these guys as they're confronted with some big exams and some big temptations to succeed at all costs. I'm going to pray for them and for all of us that we keep the big picture of eternity in mind. Let's pray. Dear God, we praise you again for Jesus. We thank you that he died on the cross. We thank you that he rose again. And we thank you that by trusting in him, we can have life forever. Please help us to worship him and wait for him and not be shaped by the things of this world, but shaped by him and the things to come. And we praise you for these year 12s that are amongst us. We thank you that they're here tonight. And we pray that they keep meeting throughout the HSC, that they would keep spurring one another on to keep trusting Jesus, that you would keep reminding them and all of us of the big picture and of what really matters, and that you would help them during this time and during times as they work out what degrees or what jobs or what trades they're going to be doing, that you would help them not to worship the idol of success, but to worship Jesus and to trust in Jesus. Please help us to keep praying for them, and please help us also to follow their example. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah.